Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court is defying God. Defying God. Now, we've seen some decisions by the Supreme Court in years gone by that were onerous, that were unholy, ungodly, immoral. The 1973 Roe versus Wade, where they legislated murder by way of abortion as being legal. 2015, when the Supreme Court ruled that sodomites could marry, that they had the right of marriage. They were defying God then, God's word. It's holy matrimony. It's one man, one woman, one lifetime, one commitment. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But yet the Supreme Court defied God. And once again, we're watching the Supreme Court defying God. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, and your discussion and dialogue on this issue today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Don, good morning. Often when I call in, I really don't want to do it because I hate to interrupt your monologue or the discussions you have, as you had going the other day with Greg. But today is a different case. Today, I want to call in. I feel I have something essential to say, and I hope that you'll walk through this with me as I go through a few things, because the last comment is going to come back to your topic today. I would title what I'm fixing to say is Now All the Statues Have Fallen. In the 30s, the School of Cultural Marxism, Frankfurt School of Cultural Marxism, invaded this country while fleeing Hitler, and they made their base of operations Columbia University, Union Theological Seminary, and then from there they spread out, and they have contaminated what some other authors and theologians have called the seven mountains of culture. And my contention in what I'm fixing to talk to you about is that now all seven mountains of American culture have been thoroughly corrupted. And it would be, let's say, the metaphor for it would be all this pulling down of statues. A statue is to commemorate a hero, an event, or some significant foundation of a culture that is important to its survival. And we see symbols, particularly of mostly American white males, who will represent what I'm going to tell you in just a moment, to have been pulled out. Now, some may not have been good. I don't necessarily agree with any that have been pulled down so far, but I will say that maybe it's okay some have been replaced. But for the most part, when you destroy history, when you destroy what you felt reverent about, when you destroy what represents the foundation of your culture, you're in grave danger.
That's right.
The very first I want to talk about, there's the seven mountains of culture as I see them, as I've written about them, begin first and foremost with the church, which is the faith system of our country. There are, in my study, eight basic doctrines that define the church from the beginning, the real church. And I'm going to go through them in reverse order, and you can tell me, if you will, if you agree or disagree. We don't have to develop agreement or disagreement, just yes or no that you do or do not agree. I do know that you agree with this eighth one as we go in reverse order, and that is, it's really all about the Jews. The Jewish people are very precious. They're the apple of God's eye.
Yes.
And when we turn against the Jewish people individually or as a culture, we're playing with fire. And we have now, as a world, as a nation, and now as we're seeing individually with the horrible, horrible comments that were made by that pig and dog, I won't even mention his name, but he made some very scandalous comments not long ago. It's all about the Jews. Do you agree with that?
That's right. Absolutely.
There's an evil time that lies directly ahead of us. It's called the tribulation. It's not in the past. Do you agree with that?
That's right. Absolutely.
All right. Do you agree that God has designed women? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. to be the civilizers of culture through their nurturing and loving spirits and their loving devotion to their husbands. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's right, absolutely.
Would you agree that men have been given the role of stewards in this culture, that we occupy the pulpits? We're the ones that declare the truth. We're the ones that push history forward through time, not women. It is men. Would you agree with that?
God holds the man responsible for the head of the home, the head of the church, the head of government, and the leadership role on a global basis. It's the man's responsibility. God ordained it that way.
As we continue in reverse order, would you agree that Satan is the consummate enemy, that he is the prince and power of the air, and he is the one behind the world, as 1 John 5:19 says? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And Ephesians 2:2 validates it.
Now we're down to the last three, that the Holy Spirit is the only light. He's the only one that guides us through life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Would you agree with that critical component of the Trinity with respect to being our guide and our light in this age?
Absolutely.
The second one, as we now move toward the end, Jesus alone is the only way to Father God. There is no other way. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6.
And would you agree with me on the final comment that the greatest teaching, the greatest understanding of the Christian faith is the fatherhood of God? Jesus said, it's not about me, it's about the Father. Everything I do is to glorify him. And then in John chapter 17, he draws us all together. And when Jesus said, I want them to be in me as I am in you, would you agree that the fatherhood of God is probably the most essential teaching in the church?
Fatherhood of God is, with this caveat now, and I think that we're both in line with this.
Go ahead, Whitney. Go with the caveat.
Let me speak with the caveat. The caveat is, God's the creator of us all, but he is not the father of us all until we've said yes to his son, then he becomes Abba Father to us.
That's exactly right, and that is my point. The objective in human life is to know God as Father. If you don't, you're out of luck. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. So we completed that process of the first mountain of culture is the church and the faith system. My contention, and perhaps you'll agree with me, is all eight of those, all the first seven I talked about have been destroyed, have been, let's say, rejected by our culture, and we're teetering on the brink that last one, the fatherhood of God. I'm going to tell you where that comes in just a moment. So the church is the first one, all right? Now let's go through the remaining six. Is the family a pillar of culture?
Absolutely, the bedrock.
All right. Has it been pretty much destroyed or redefined by the new definition of family and by the fact that fathers are outside the home and that mothers work outside the home, and that we have two or fewer children, and we see violent children in the streets, and that is caused by the breakdown of the family? Has that mountain of culture been destroyed?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the third mountain of culture, business. Business is what a man does to feed his family. So that's small business. Has small business been replaced by the giant techno business on a global scale that, as we've just seen in the COVID virus, is shut down everything that we do? Would you agree that business, meaning the media, the entertainment, production, the little mom-and-pop businesses have now been thoroughly corrupted in favor of the giant techno businesses? Would that be true?
We've destroyed that. In fact, on the morning news, there was they had the chart showing 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, how many businesses have filed bankruptcy, closed, gone out of business, et cetera. Hundreds of thousands across America that have gone belly up.
Now we move to the fourth mountain of culture, you being in agreement to this point on all of them. The next one is the government. Would you agree that the existence of the deep state, the Democrat parties themselves, and the absence of what used to be the loyal opposition indicates that our government is now thoroughly corrupted?
Our government is not just corrupted, it has become a detriment to society rather than it being of the people, for the people, and by the people. It's become the dictatorial, ungodly force against the faith, family, and the freedom of America.
And that's why I like you so much. We've been in agreement so far. This is good. We move to number five. It's education. The education system of America. I don't think I have to dwell on that. I took a year off to teach public school in 2001 and 2002 when I was doing a writing project. And what I found was even worse than I realized. Would you agree that the education system is totally corrupted, and most especially the university systems?
Education system, in fact, in the Humanist Manifesto 2 of 1933, Dewey said that he would take America and make it a humanistic nation by way of education, and that's exactly been their goal for the socialist, Marxist, communist. They've taken it over. 97%, perhaps better, of the professors and the leadership in our colleges and universities are absolutely ranked liberal, anti-God. And so also in our local and national public schools from kindergarten through high school.
Amen. And now we're down to six and seven. This one happened to us last week, the last time I talked to you on the radio, I believe. My background is military and fairly well connected to the most prominent institutions in the military itself. So I had a catbird seed on what happens inside the military. And I believe that of the seven mountains of culture, it would be the last to fall. In a sense, it is. But last week when I talked to you 1 hour before your program, the great indication of the fall, to my huge surprise, the fall of the military had taken place. And that's when General Milley made some, I think, illegal against the Uniform Code of Military Justice comments. But if nothing else, a statement that telegraphed that the military does not stand with our president, possibly, and the Secretary of Defense by allowing his events to be, his comments at a graduation event to be broadcast, indicates that even SecDef in the president's own cabinet doesn't agree with the president. And if these things can happen, led by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, our military is now thoroughly corrupted. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that, and it's prosecutable. They have committed treasonous acts of which should be prosecuted.
And so now we're down to the very final one, which is the subject of your program today. We have nine Supreme Court justices. Only two. Curiously, a white man, Judge Alito, and a black man, General Thomas. I say general. He is a general. He's a good man. Justice Thomas. Justice Thomas and Justice Alito, representing white and black, two divisions in our nation, are the only stalwarts for truth, and they're in the minority. We have the white reprobates, Roberts and Gorsuch, particularly that have turned away and instituted the final abrogation of law that will complete the process of killing the church, the family, business, government, education, and the military by empowering the sodomites that are always present at the end when a culture dies. Can you say Sodom and Gomorrah? Can you say the Benjamites? And every other culture in history has died for the same reason. When the sodomite head is raised, the culture dies. So your point today, what you're saying on the radio today, is all the statues have now fallen. The last one, and I'm not going to say what representative, what is going to happen is going to represent it, but when the final blow before the culture collapses entirely will be the attack on the fatherhood of God. It's already happening. But the successful metaphorical attack on the fatherhood of God, at that point, the rapture is going to happen, or we're going to enter into a secular period of horror for this nation that we have never known. I personally believe, as you do, the rapture is imminent. We must look up. We must listen for his voice. But even if the rapture does not happen, according to the cycles of secular history, we are at the very, very, very precipice of the dissolution of America because all the statues have now fallen.
Well, you can look at the dissolution of Rome, and Rome was not taken over. It imploded as a result of the demoralization and the push for more and more pleasure, and the major manifestation of a sodomite lifestyle in that culture. I'm looking at an article here that is, I believe it's Matt Staver's portion of his. In an outrageous ruling that should shake America's collective conscience to its core, the U.S. Supreme Court has redefined the meaning of sex under the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, including gender identity and sexual orientation. Here's the statement. Not only was this decision an affront against God, but it was also an historical attack against the foundation and the framework that governs our nation. And I can't make it any clearer than he has stated it that I just read. Because, as I said, it is simply what we're looking at today is the defiance of God. It is defying God. And so it could go to your point, Marshall, about the father defying the fatherhood of God. It is defying God. And if we defy God, and as in Psalms 14:1, the fool had said in his heart, no God. Collectively, that's what's being said as a nation, no God and no to God. And I agree with you that I believe the rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. It's imminent. It could happen at the next moment, the next second, before the next 24-hour cycle is out. But I do believe what we're watching is the curtain falling, that we're watching the stage being set. We're watching the play actors being put on the scene for what will be, as you touched on and alluded to, what I believe will be a dark, cold culture in the last days, where the church is eviscerated, where Christians are mocked and continued to be persecuted and prosecuted as we've never seen in the history of America. Because when we do this to a nation by the fiat ruling of a Supreme Court, we're inviting the judgment of God.
That's right. So the last statement, then, you've already said it for me. The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon, 18th century historian, wrote one of the great historical pieces. And I think you know that I believe literature is some of the great literature of the world, and even some of the not-so-great literature telegraphs the future and what's coming. So you can say the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon, but you can now say the Decline and Fall of America the Great by the Democrat Party and its operatives.
Yes.
You can't
absolutely
be a Democrat and be a Christian.
Impossible.
Amen. Yes. I'm done.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling, for your input. Blessing to the broadcast and encouragement. I pray to everyone that's been listening for what we have said today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about defying God. That telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment in relationship to the Supreme Court's ruling and defying God. The Supreme Court's basically said that God's word is immaterial, that God doesn't exist, that God has no say-so and no should have no influence at all. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact is that the court's decision defies the word of God and the people of God and the place of God. The U.S. Supreme Court's now openly saying that God is not relevant, and they're challenging God. God's word says that there are only two genders, that's male and female, yet the courts have codified the belief that gender identity and sexual orientation allows for multiple genders. This is nothing but government's approval of the LGBTQ agenda. As one writer puts it in relationship to that, mind-blowing makeover. Supremes redefine sex. When the law was passed in 1964, Congress understood sex to mean male and female biologically. But now, for example, the employer can't fire a male employee for dressing like a woman on the job. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that we're faced with. We've already had problems with it because of states like Colorado and Arizona, Oregon, and Washington State, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with the horrific human rights ordinances that they have had on a state level. But, ladies and gentlemen, even the president of Poland rejects the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. The Polish president said in a recent article, let me read you just a statement. The Polish president made this statement. The Polish president compares the LGBTQ ideology to Soviet indoctrination. He further says the He introduced a family card, as he calls it, of election proposals, including a vow to not allow gay couples to marry or adopt children and to ban teaching about LGBTQ in the public school system there. The president of Poland has a little more common sense and recognition of morals and ethics and values than our U.S. Supreme Court and what they have just done by fiat. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an attack. Listen to the bottom line. What the U.S. Supreme Court's done is an attack on the church. It's an attack on Christians. It's an attack on biblical morals. It's an attack on biblical values. It's an attack on everything that the Word of God teaches us as Christians and as the church. You might think, well, you know, it's not going to bother me. If you're a Christian and it doesn't bother you, check up, see if you're saved. Check up, see if you be in the faith, as Paul told the believers at Corinth. Check up to see if you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It's an impossibility to be saved. And as our previous caller said, it's an impossibility to be saved and be a Democrat. It's an impossibility to be saved and to say that this is not going to intersect with, bother, or destroy our Christian faith and our Christian walk and Christian belief in society today. It's an impossibility to say that because it's going to affect every aspect of human life in the United States of America as a result of this fiat decision. Here's an article that says, Supreme Court rules gay workers protected from job discrimination is a big win for the LGBTQ rights. Ladies and gentlemen, it is, as I've said before and at the risk of redundancy, let me say to you again, what the Supreme Court justices have done is they have become the legislators and not the judiciary, where their responsibility is not to make law, but to interpret law, and they've gone beyond the interpretation of the law. They have literally taken the House Bill 5, which is now Senate Bill 788, called the Equalities Act. They've taken the guidelines and the directives from that, and they've codified it by fiat in the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which is now law of the land. By the way, we could discuss this and argue this until Jesus comes, but when the U.S. Supreme Court renders an opinion, it's not judicial. It is not something that is a legal law. It's not that's been passed. In fact, it's called an opinion, and they can render that opinion. But the thing that is so discouraging to me is that that opinion is rendered, and all of our presidents, with the exception of one in history, has literally said, that's their opinion, it's okay, we're going to accept it. In fact, President Trump, when he was told about the ruling, he said, all right, we can live with that, that's okay. We can't live with that, ladies and gentlemen. They've taken the Equalities Act, and some of the things in the Equality Act goes this way. This is from the Family Research Council. It's called What is the Equality Act, House Bill 5. It goes on to say, the purpose is to give special privileges to people based on homosexual behavior or based on gender identity and gender dysphoria by adding sexual orientation and gender identity in a number of federal laws. These changes affect any provider of goods, any provider of services, any provider of programs, whether it be secular or religious. This is sweeping legislation. Goes further in this article about the House Bill 5, the Equality Act. And why am I reading that? Why am I talking about House Bill 5, the Equality Act? Because what they've done with the U.S. Supreme Court, they've literally taken the wording of the Equality Act, Nancy Pelosi's claim to fame. They've taken the wording of that. They've inculcated that in the reinterpretation and the rewriting of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And goes on to say in this article, not only does the bill insert sexual orientation and gender identity in each of these laws, but it also redefines public accommodation. While places of public accommodation were previously defined narrowly to include restaurants, hotels, theaters, and other establishments where racial minorities were regularly rejected during segregation, the Equalities Act would expand the definition to include any establishment that provides food, services or programs. This broad definition specifically refers to a store, a shopping center, online retail services, provider, a salon, bank, gas station, food bank, service or care center, shelter, travel agency, or funeral parlor, or establishment that provides health care, accounting, legal services, but will likely also apply to all organizations ranging from religious, private schools to non-public welfare agencies. This is really an Inequality Act. Attorneys will likely be required to represent homosexuals in dissolving the same-sex marriages. Christian schools will likely be required to offer transgender students bathrooms or other choices. And Christian homeless shelters will be required to accommodate same-sex couples. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you're under the Equalities Act as it was written, yet not passed, but what they've done by fiat through the Supreme Court decision to defy God and to defy God's word and to defy God's church and defy God's people, what they've done, they've inculcated the intent of Nancy Pelosi's House Bill 5, the Equality Act, which literally will fling the bathroom doors open, the shower rooms open, the locker rooms and the dressing rooms doors will be wide open, and the girls and the ladies and any female, including the little lads, the boys that go into the bathrooms where the pedophiles and the perverts are, be there as predators waiting to pounce. And may I say that then with the businesses, Christian florists are being now persecuted and prosecuted for not bowing to the LGBTQ agenda. Already Christian bakers are being prosecuted and persecuted for not baking cakes for sodomite weddings. Christian photographers are being sued by the LGBTQ crowd for refusing to go against their consciences and to go against the word of God. Christian businesses cannot fire a worthless employee if he or she identifies then as a transsexual or as a sodomite. Ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court has openly and with definitive intent defied God, challenged the integrity of God's word, defying the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, every church, every Christian organization, every business that's owned and operated by Christians are now in the crosshairs of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in the United States of America. Sodomy is sin. In fact, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, and list the 10 people that will not go to heaven if they practice that sin, and one is the sin of sodomy. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32, it says very clearly that for the sodomite, God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, with all of that being said, God help us as Americans. How should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer said so eloquently? We must pray, ladies and gentlemen. We must seek God's face. We must turn from our wicked ways. We must ask God to heal our land. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a prayer that we ought to pray today. We ought to pray that God will heal America, that God would intervene before it's eternally too late in these last days, as we as Christians need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Located just 1 mile south of I-295, you are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.